It's great. Now, last weekend, myself and my family, at the invitation of Ian and Sharon, went to see a movie, a film. I wonder if you can guess what film it was. What do you think? Any ideas? What do you think, Christine? Paddington. It is Paddington. Yeah, it's very good. Very thoroughly recommend it. I enjoyed it far more than I thought I would. But, you know, the story, if you don't know the film, you may remember the books. Perhaps you read them when you were young or read them to your children. But, of course, Paddington comes from darkest Peru. He makes his way to London because he's been told that he'll find a warm welcome there. But he doesn't really find a warm welcome there. In fact, very few, and nobody even really says hello to him until the Brown family stumble across him. And they somewhat reluctantly bring him home. And then after a few dodgy moments, they learn to love and accept Paddington as one of the family. He has a home with them. It's interesting, Michael Bond, the chap who wrote the original story, said that he was partly inspired by seeing all those wartime evacuee children lined up on station platforms with their name labels around their necks, waiting for someone to come and to take them back to their home and treat them as part of the family. Mr. and Mrs. Brown made room for Paddington. What about Jesus? When Jesus arrived, who made room for Jesus? Well, this is what it says, and we've read some of this already. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth. This is in Luke's Gospel in the Bible. He went up from Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's what we've seen, isn't it? No room in the inn for Joseph and Mary. And so they had to go in with the animals. And that's where Jesus was born, and he had to be laid in the feeding trough, the manger, because there was no room at the inn. Now that's astonishing, isn't it? Think of all that hustling, bustling town. You know, Mr. Homer Comforts, we don't actually read about Mr. Homer Comforts in the Bible. He was kind of made up for the occasion. But there must have been in that town lots and lots of people just like Mr. Homer Comforts, who didn't want to be disturbed, who didn't want to have to get up and be put out at all. They just wanted life to be comfortable, and this making room for this baby was going to disturb them, and so they didn't make room for the baby. Some people made room for the baby, though, didn't they? Mary and Joseph, they made room for Jesus, didn't they? Because, after all, when they were told that Jesus was going to arrive, that turned their lives completely upside down. But they accepted that from God, and they made room for Jesus. The shepherds on the hillside, they made room for Jesus, didn't they? They left their flocks, they came down, they saw the baby, and then they went and told everyone else to make room for Jesus too, didn't they? The wise men traveling from afar, they made room. They came from a long, long way away to find the newborn king and to bow down before him. King Herod, though, he didn't think there was certainly no room for another king, was there? And so he tried to get rid of Jesus. And that meant that there was no room in Bethlehem for Jesus, and Mary and Joseph had to take him to Egypt. What about us? Will we make room for Jesus? I don't know what presents you're expecting at Christmas time. I don't know if you've got a list. I don't know if you've made your parents well aware of what you want. There's always one present, isn't there? There is always one must-have present every year. Some of you may be old enough to remember Cabbage Patch dolls or various action figures from various movies. This year's no exception. There is a must-have present this year. The Elsa doll. I heard a poor lady on the radio, a poor mother earlier this week, she was tearing her hair out, desperate because her 3-year-old daughter really, really must have one of these dolls for Christmas, and she can't find anyone anywhere, and she was getting desperate, and that got me thinking about all kinds of things, which we won't go into. But I've just got one for all of you children who are desperate for an Elsa doll this Christmas. And for all of you adults, parents who are desperately running around trying to find that elusive Elsa doll this Christmas, I have one piece of advice. It is simply this. Let it go. Let it go. Sorry, I should have issued a warning at the beginning of the service. Let it go. Because this is the truth. If you make one present the central part of your Christmas, then you will, whether you get that present or not, ultimately, you will be disappointed, because that is not what Christmas is about. And that's true with everything that we fill our lives with at Christmas times. If you make food the central part of Christmas, you will be disappointed, because that's not what Christmas is about. Drink, partying, even family gatherings, as good as they are, if you make that the central part of Christmas, then you are going to be disappointed, because that is not what Christmas is about. It's about Jesus. He has to be the center, or Christmas means nothing at all. It's as simple as that. Jesus. This is what we read in the Bible. This is the Apostle Paul writing, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." This is how we get rich, not by getting the presents we want or all the other things we want. We get rich by receiving what only Jesus brings us, what God gives us in Jesus. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who became a human being for us at Christmas. Well, that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Why did he do that? Well, actually, this is God making room for us. We talk about making room for Jesus, but this is God making room for us. You see, we'd run away from God. We'd gone as far away from him as possible. We didn't want to listen to him. We disobeyed him. We rebelled against him. This is what the Bible calls sin. But Jesus came to take the baggage of our sin and deal with it. He came. That's what he did when he died on the cross. He dealt with that baggage. He paid the punishment for that sin. And it is done away with, because Jesus got rid of that baggage. But that wasn't the end, because God raised him from the dead. And that means that death was defeated. And so the gulf between us and God that's created by our sin and death, well, Jesus bridged that gulf, went straight over, so that he could bring us home to God, who has made room for us. That's amazing. God has made room for us. And we are rich when we come home to God. That's what Christmas is all about. But you know, the trouble is, if we're going to receive that wonderful gift that God has for us, we have to be willing to accept it. If we're going to be rich with what God has, we have to accept that actually we're poor, that we don't have anything ourselves, and we need what he gives us. And we find that very, very hard to do. We find it hard to admit that we need what God wants to give us, that we're poor, because of our pride. Our pride gets in the way. We think we're fine, we're pretty good, we're okay. We don't need what God has to offer us. We can get by without him. And our pride stops us. I heard an interesting true story a few Christmases ago. It's about a church in Cambridgeshire somewhere. And this church was having a civic carol service. That means a carol service where all the bigwigs of the town, the council members, the mayor, all the important people were invited to come to the carol service, a very big, important occasion. And those important people, the councillors, the mayor, they all expected to have front row seats reserved for them so that they could see clearly, and presumably so that they could be seen. But, you know, the vicar said no. The vicar said, no, I'm not going to reserve seats for those people. Everyone is equal before God. They can sit with everyone else. Well, that caused such a row. That caused such a furious response. They were, presumably they did think, they weren't as like everyone else. They were special. They needed to have special room for them. Why wouldn't the vicar do it? In fact, there was such a row that the carol service had to be moved to another church. And the leader of the council, a Mrs. Potts, said, it's protocol that these seats are reserved for us. And if we lose protocol, we lose everything. I wonder how much they were thinking of Jesus when they reacted like that. You know, it's when we are full of our own importance, when we're full of what we want, that stops us receiving what God has to give us in Jesus. And that is such a shame. Let's not be like that. Let's not build ice palaces in our hearts from all that pride in our hearts that keep us from God. Let's not do that. Let's look at Jesus. Let's see what he's given us. Let's see who he is in all his humility and graciousness and loving nature that he came to give himself for us. Let's look at Jesus and let him melt away the icy pride of your heart. Let it go. There was an archbishop in a place called El Salvador, in the 70s and 80s, he spoke up for the poor and the oppressed in that country that were being badly treated. And so because he did that, he lost his life. He was murdered while he was conducting mass one day in church. He was murdered. Oscar Romero is his name. And he said this: no one can celebrate a genuine Christmas without being truly poor. The self-sufficient, the proud, those who, because they have everything, look down on others, those who have no need even of God, for them there will be no Christmas. Only the poor, the hungry, those who need someone to come on their behalf will have that someone. That someone is God. Emmanuel, God with us. Without poverty of spirit, there can be no abundance of God. So this Christmas, let's not just make room for Jesus the baby. Let's put Jesus the man, Jesus the king, Jesus our savior, right at the center, not just of Christmas, but of our whole lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for that wonderful gift that we've heard sung about today, the gift of Jesus, your own Son, who came as one of us to give us your riches because we are so poor and left to our own devices. Father, thank you. We give you great thanks, and we pray that as Christmas goes on, this Christmas period, we will get more and more excited about this, and that we will enjoy all the other things, but this will be the thing that we really get excited about, and that we'll want to tell others about it, and we'll want to keep Jesus at the center of our lives throughout the coming year and for the rest of our lives, because then we will be rich. Thank you, Lord. Amen.